Morning, church family. It is a beautiful day. So many have said, whether you're joining us online or here in person today for a service under a tent, I believe God has given many of us a perspective that we won't soon lose, where regardless of what you walk in with or are watching today, burdens that are still gripping you, victories that you've experienced over the past several months, or struggles that you might still be facing, I believe God has given us a spirit of gratitude and awareness that He is still here, He is risen, and He is working today. And my prayer has been throughout this weekend that this Easter, for you and for anyone in your household, might be one that you never forget, because it changes you in a way that you've never been changed before. I do pray that above all else, that you experience Jesus and His presence and leave transformed by His power. That God would do something throughout the course of these moments and the moments that follow that could only be explained by the person of God and the power of God at work within your life, wherever you are today. That's my prayer. So I join with many others who say thank you for your prayers throughout this week, for the countless individuals who have supported and served in various ways leading up to today, throughout today. God has already answered our prayers with a beautiful morning. Amen. So this Sunday is special. As Terry mentioned at the beginning, it looks a lot different than it was a year ago. We're worshiping apart, and as we get to worship here together in one service in this way and online, that this means something. I hope it means something to you. And as we gather under a tent in a way that only those OG Northside members would appreciate, this is a call to our roots as a church family. This is just Easter for a lot of folks out here. But the message we share and the songs we sing have not changed and will not change. They remain the same, the songs of the cross, of the victory, of the empty grave, and the work that God continues to do through broken people redeemed by the person of Jesus continues through today. So you'll notice as we begin that we are revisiting these three crosses described on Calvary's mountain. As a kid, I remember seeing three crosses displayed at different times, and I would wonder why there's more than one. You know, isn't Jesus' cross the only one, or certainly the only one that mattered? And of course, we know that is true, but I'd never really heard the story of the other criminals that were crucified next to Jesus on that day. So as we lift high the name of Jesus and glory in His cross, we also consider the testimonies of two men who each had a different conversation with Jesus in their final moments here on earth. And my challenge to each person here today, this Easter, is simply to consider your genuine response to two questions. Why Jesus? And what have you done with the gift presented to you? Why Jesus? And what have you done with the gift that has been offered to you? As we do consider those two questions, I invite you to turn with me this morning to the Gospel of Luke, the 23rd chapter. If you don't have your Bible with you this morning, you can join with us via our church app. It has the passages for you this morning listed there. I invite you to, whatever way you need to have a copy of Scripture in front of you to follow along this morning, certainly as we continue our worship in different segments today. We see there, Luke records in chapter 23, beginning in verse 26, the scene of Jesus leading up to the cross, The Bible says, as the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Skipping ahead to verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." A dark picture, a very real death of our Savior upon the cross. Many of you gathered this past Friday to recall another picture, an image we have from Scripture as we gathered to observe the Lord's Supper. We paused to remember the ultimate reason Jesus was born, to die by the way of crucifixion. And as the sinless Lamb of God, sent to be slaughtered for the sin of all mankind, Jesus paid the debt that you and I owe a holy God. As we understand from Scripture, Romans 6, "For the wages of sin is death." There is no Easter Sunday. There is no resurrection unless Christ fulfilled God's plan one Friday to redeem fallen man by facing and embracing the cross of Calvary. He paid the debt completely. It wasn't just swept under the rug. It wasn't just hidden away somewhere. The debt had to be paid, and Jesus paid your debt and mine. This is the reason I ask you today, why Jesus? Because Jesus is the only one, as the Apostle Paul described in his letter to the church at Philippi, who in being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. And being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, my friend, there is simply no one, no God like Jesus. He alone is our Creator, our Savior, and our friend. There is no other faith, no other religious teacher or philosopher has done what Jesus did for you. Amen. The only reason this symbol of death can be celebrated and sung about as the wonderful cross is because of what it accomplished and who overcame it. Jesus, God's one and only Son, because he so loved the entire world, even you and even me. That's why Jesus. I wonder, do you know him? Let's pray. God, I thank you that you look at us, knowing all our sin. And you love us still. You love us so much that you knew the cross was coming. You prayed, "Not my will, but thy will." And then you embraced the full weight of the sin of the entire world, so that our debt could be paid in full. Father, I pray that we would worship you with fresh eyes, with full hearts, in great appreciation for what you've done for us. And I pray, Father, for those who've never trusted you, for those who have never received the gift you freely offer, that today might be the day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's a good time y'all singing three times because I get too excited. You gotta shut me up, sit me down, take a water break. Come on. Now we turn to the second cross, which represents who we refer to as the unrepentant thief. Now, I know that may sound harsh, especially when we don't know much about this guy, but he's known as such because of his response to Jesus as he was being crucified next to him. So I invite you to turn again with me to Luke 23. Once again, in verse 39, we'll see this one verse that describes this crucified criminal next to Jesus, where it says, "One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. 'Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us.'" This criminal, receiving punishment for his own wrongdoing, heard the mockery of the crowd that gathered to berate Jesus as he hung on the cross, and then joined in with insults of his own. As Jesus was paying the price for this man's sin, he rejected the gift of everlasting life that was literally within his reach, even in his final moments. Instead, asked for an escape from his present circumstances. You know, it's easy for those of us who sit here today with the entirety of God's revelation, Scripture, to look at this man's story, to listen to his words with criticism and reject any notion that we are somehow like him ourselves. Yet, how many of us approach God the same way? We're not really interested in what God offers us. Instead, we'd be more pleased if he simply took care of our most pressing needs. We're not concerned about his gift of eternal life in the hereafter when we've got much more pressing things in the here and now. And as our gaze is more fixed on what is immediately in front of us instead of the God who reigns over us, we end up missing the only one who can truly rescue us. That's why Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 10, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." My friend Jesus, why Jesus? Jesus is the good shepherd. This good shepherd is no longer on the cross, nor asleep in a tomb. He lived, died, and rose so that you might hear his voice when he calls for you. So my second question today is simply this: what have you done with the gift God has presented to you? What have you done with that gift? Many of you are aware that just over 2 weeks ago, my dad passed away unexpectedly at the age of 66. It wasn't his first heart attack. Nevertheless, it was still sudden and traumatic. My family greatly appreciates your prayers and encouragement. It's been needed and felt every day. And even though we're saddened and heartbroken, hope has been the banner over us. Hope that this isn't the end. Hope knowing that my dad's struggles are no more. And hope knowing that Jesus walks with us through the valley. All of this simply because I have an image of my dad from when I was 14 years old that I'll never forget. You see, my dad, many of you know, had long been a businessman who staked his value and his identity in success. His MO was performing and controlling everything on the outside because everything on the inside was just too much to bear. So we cover it. Until one day, his actions and indiscretions broke our family apart. And I saw my dad broken and humbled in a way like never before. And though some pieces of our lives would remain shattered forever, my dad gathered us around the dinner table. In the days following, he spoke of transformation and forgiveness he had experienced through the person and work of Jesus Christ. You see, my dad, in a matter of weeks, had gone from an unrepentant heart of stone to a transformed heart that had encountered the power of a risen Savior. It didn't mean that his life or our family was fixed. We still faced our messes. But my dad's faith, and shortly thereafter my faith, had gone from looking for a way out of our mess to trusting God to mold us into his masterpiece, which was only possible through the work of the cross. So my friend, I'm not asking you your full life story. I'm not asking you about anything else today. The only question I ask you that I would beg of you to answer honestly, not for me, but for you, what have you done with the free gift of life and freedom offered to you by Jesus? Your story can change today. Your family's story. Your family's story can change today because of this. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you take our messes, you make them into masterpieces. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, no matter what we've done leading up to this moment of this service, God, you still look at us in love and long to do something with us. We thank you for, in that while we were still sinners, Christ, you demonstrated your love for us by dying for us. I pray today that every person watching, listening, worshiping would consider afresh and anew what this cross means. The sin that they no longer have to bear or carry anymore because you took care of it. And God, that you would long to do something in the lives of people today that could be only explained because of Jesus living and working in their lives. That is why we are here. That is the message we share and the song we sing. In Jesus' name, amen. Whew, man. Y'all good? Almost there. Here we go. Man, thank you so much. Just worship team, Terry, Andy, the whole crew, thank you for your leadership. Appreciate you guys. And yet somehow even that is just a taste of what we'll get to do forever. For those who know him, man, what... thank you for lifting our hearts and our eyes towards heaven today. Well, third cross we see today represents the repentant thief. He certainly stands in contrast to the thief who mocked Jesus, as Luke records in his gospel, chapter 23, beginning in verse 40. The other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserves. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Boy, the heart and cry of this crucified man was much different, wasn't it? Where the first criminal was prideful and looking for an escape, this man was humble and fully aware of the one who hung next to him. And what was his only request? "Remember me. Jesus, remember me." Could you imagine just being there, within earshot, as this conversation unfolded? I mean, my mind kind of wonders sometimes, if I could choose one scene from Scripture to witness firsthand, which would it be? You know, if I had some weird scientist friend who, you know, could do something with cars and had a time machine that could go back and I could pick, you know, a Bible story to watch play out in front of my eyes live and in person, which would it be? You know, sure, you got some Old Testament narratives that would be epic to watch. You got Adam and Eve at creation, Moses parting the Red Sea. Yeah. Even Jonah, when he made his abode in the belly of a fish for 3 days, then homeboy lived to tell about it. That's next level. But then to be able to walk with the long prophesied Son of God as he taught, as he served, and he loved during his few years of ministry, certainly that would be eye-opening. To see Jesus heal the lame, to raise the dead, to set free those enslaved to sin, and then send those people out with a divine mission. Man, certainly words fail to fully describe the greatness of Jesus. Could you imagine watching him tell the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, about to be stoned to death, and say, "Woman, has no one condemned you? Then neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin." There's simply no one like Jesus. And now here, moments before he declares it is finished and breathes his last, Jesus notices the faith of this second criminal and says, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Look here. Could you imagine being that criminal hanging, fully aware that the punishment you receive is what you deserve, only to hear the Son of God offer you a free gift that you don't deserve? Instead of judgment, you experience forgiveness. Once destined for death and separation from God, you are now given new life to enjoy the very presence of God forever in an instant because you reached out to Jesus. My friend, don't you understand? This is the very same gift God offers to you and me today. Church, hear me. This is the good news we are called to show and share with the entire world, house to house. We cannot, my friend, we must not keep this message to ourselves. Who are we if we do so? Have we not been transformed by the power of God if we fail to go forth and share the good news? Because that's what they did. The reason you're sitting in that seat on this day is because the next chapter in Luke 24, verse 1, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone, what? Rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Somebody say, amen. All right. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Amen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, "The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. And what did they do? The next pages we see, they went forth declaring the good news, first to his closest followers and then to the entire world. So again, I had two questions today. Why Jesus? The second question is what you must answer. I cannot answer for you. What have you done with this gift that God has offered you? Have you resisted it and rejected it, often looking for other ways out and things to cover your pain, your problems, your sin, only to be left where you stand? Or have you humbled yourself and acknowledged there's no one like Jesus, and that what little we can offer to God is much when he is in it? Would you trust Jesus today? Would you receive that gift of life today? Doesn't matter what your last name is, the numbers in your bank account, your stat sheet. My only question is, what have you done with Jesus? Romans says this: if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, my friend, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. My friend, Jesus is here. The hard part is done. The work has been accomplished. It is finished, is what the God-man said. And then he chilled for 3 days, rose up, and said, "I told you, it's done." What will you do with this gift that is given? Make no mistake, there's nothing you've done to deserve it. That's why it's a gift. There's nothing you can do to dress it up and make it look better. Jesus took care of it all. Will you receive it freely, just as God offers it today? Would you bow with me just a moment? Before we soak in the sun and enjoy festivities and you move along to, I know, what has got to be a busy day for you and your household, please do not fail to answer this question. What have you done with this gift that God offers you today? Perhaps you've resisted, you've sought out other means of rescue only to find that every one of them fails to do the job. Right where you are, in your own words or echoing the words that I share in this moment, if you're sitting there and you are aware that you are broken, you would admit that you are a sinner that needs rescuing, that needs saving, but you're ready to believe in Jesus. You're ready to trust Christ, turn and follow him. Would you pray something like this? Say, "Dear God, I admit that I've fallen short. I believe that you came to pay the price for my sin so that I don't have to bear it anymore. So by faith, I give it to you now and ask you to forgive me, to make me whole, to give me life to the full, so that I might take this gift you have given me and be gracious to share it with others." If you prayed anything like that prayer, for the first time and in sincerity, would you look up at me just a moment? If you meant that, prayed it for the first time, just look up at me a moment so I can see your eyes. I know it's somewhat awkward, but I want you to know, my friend, even if I can't see you and you're looking at me right now, I want you to know today is the day you went from death to life. Today is the day you can mark it down when this free gift God offered is something that came to your doorstep and you received it freely. That this is not the end. That God wants to begin this work in you in a way that transforms everyone who knows you. This is just the beginning. Dear Jesus, I thank you for this gift of life, this freedom, this song of victory we sing today, because you paid it all. So all we owe is to you, our King. Lord, may we, your people, called by your name, walk and live and speak like Jesus, so that the world may come to know you, because they've had an opportunity to know us. That is our prayer, and that is the only reason we are here. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.